This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Here's a sample of a free podcast from the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 gets you through the door at PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Because we're just getting started!
And you can see Scott Butzke really put together.
Waiting for my man.
And welcome everybody to Rewind Away number 195, The Gravest Review by John Pollock and Wei Ting. How are you, Wei?
I'm doing all right, John.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. Happy to talk about this early 90s classic.
Yes. How did we arrive at Survivor Series 1991, Wei? Do you want to explain for those how we got here?
Well, the show is executive produced by our producer, Cameron Simon, who elected to not make an option for this particular show. He just, you know, didn't really have maybe a strong enough suggestion, he felt. So he wanted to open it up to the post-wrestling audience. And so we decided to do a poll, gave you guys four options. And what were they, John? What were you remembering? It was Santa with Muscles. Okay.
Santa with Muscles starring Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
We had the Paul Heyman interview on Stephanie McMahon's podcast, and we had, what was the other one? I can't remember.
Drawing a blank. It doesn't matter.
It didn't win, so this was our choice. Survivor Series 1991.
By a pretty good margin, I would say. Like, I think this was like, you know, received at least a third of the votes, and I don't think any of the other options came even close. So this is the one you guys chose. And you know what? I don't think it's that much of a surprise to me. It's, you know, it's attached to many people's childhood. 1991 Survivor Series is like, you know, one of the big four shows, and maybe one that a lot of people have seen. But surprisingly, John, you and I have never reviewed this ever.
Do you say that definitively?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked it up.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever even seen this show in full until now.
So I think that I have not seen this show in full until this time. I've definitely seen the Hogan Undertaker match, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I had seen the opening match with Flair, but I don't think I've ever sat down and watched this start to finish, mainly because at my local video store, this was one of the Gap events that they never had this of it. They never had this tape at my video store. So I had no means to see it. And as I got older, this was, you'll find this shocking, Way. This one was not top of mind for me to go back and fill in the blanks of my pre-wrestling fandom.
You did not go back to your video store to just request and ask, and hey, when are you getting Survivor Series 1991 in?
Not only was there no request made, but then when it was there at a click of a button on the WWE Network, that too was not selected, okay? My perusing of Netflix is fully up to you, and literally in this case with the poll. And just for the Bryans of the world out there, it was the 55-minute match with John Cena and Shawn Michaels that was our fourth option.
Thank you. Yes, of course.
A waiting selection. I think that was second, I believe.
Maybe. Again, irrelevant.
What if these two had gone 55? Hogan and Undertaker 91.
Well, I think this crowd would have ate that up. They would have loved it. Now, what would the quality of match have been? I'm kind of curious to see, actually.
So this was the fifth annual Survivor Series, and a great companion to this is my award-winning history of the Survivor Series, available now for all Cafe members, everyone on YouTube, going through year by year, including this 1991 recap. But this is going to be the deep dive into 1991, okay? So it's like a cursory overview here, the history of the Survivor Series. So while I was going through this, one story definitely caught my attention was going back to what I think is most remembered from this show is the infamous tombstone spot involving The Undertaker and Hulk Hogan, because there was a big controversy coming out of this of whether or not Hulk Hogan was injured on this spot. He sold this backstage. He apparently went to the hospital, And this would, this legend would grow for years. And The Undertaker at first believing, oh my God, in my first major main event pay-per-view match, I destroyed the top dog. And then it was afterward that he was informed, dude, you came nowhere close to spiking this guy on his head. And we will go further into this with Hogan's account. In both of his books, this comes up. And then the grand finale, a deposition where Hulk Hogan is asked about this tombstone spot when he was suing. He was suing a practice after a surgery that went awry. So we will get Hulk Hogan under oath, which is to me, I mean, Hulk Hogan under oath, it brings you the hits such as the tombstone of 1991 and the size of his penis. Okay, these are the only ways you get Hulk Hogan, the truthful Terry Bollea, to come through. Then it becomes the question: is Hulk Hogan under oath or is Terry Bollea under oath?
Of course. I wonder if this is the most discussed tombstone in history.
Oh, I thought you said disgusted. Disgust, yes. It might be.
One of the most discussed wrestling moves in history, for it to pop up in two biographies and also in court.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, David Bixenspan did this great piece a number of years ago. 4 years ago, A Brief History of Hulk Hogan Claiming That The Undertaker Maimed Him is the article that you can search on his Substack. And in it, it includes a compilation of The Undertaker's early tombstones to enhancement talents. And my God, these are some of the most frightening tombstones you could imagine. A far cry from what Hogan had to take in Detroit on this night.
Hmm. Okay.
But there you go. Earl Hebner at the center of controversy in Survivor Series history.
Of course.
So we are going back to November the 27th of 1991, Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, the gravest challenge. And there are several changes over the years. The first four Survivor Series had all taken place on Thanksgiving night. But for this year, they're moving it to Thanksgiving Eve. So this would be a Wednesday night pay-per-view. And they are also increasing the price from $22.50 to $24.95. How much impact would those $2.45 have on the WWE audience?
$24.95 in 1991 is how much?
$4,000.
I mean, that's like $60 today. That's not cheap for one of these shows for this fucking card. It's not.
This was not a $60 card away?
I mean, I really don't think so.
Did you gloss over the 3-on-3 elimination match, a Survivor Series classic, the smallest Survivor Series elimination match in history?
Like, just if the internet existed back then, okay, I can only imagine the complaints following some of these shows. Maybe people would have been extremely satisfied with.
Maybe Paul Levesque would come out after and say, Tuesday in Texas is going to be epic.
That's expensive.
Well, that was the other aspect to this show, is that this was an experiment they were going to run with a Wednesday night pay-per-view followed by this Tuesday in Texas 6 days later, where they were basically going to shoot angles on this show to set up another pay-per-view, which would be the more modestly priced $14.95 event, which they would come back with 6 days later. So the end result is that So there are disputed figures here for how the Survivor Series did. Most outlets listed at 300,000 buys. The Observer had reported 240,000 buys. Regardless, this is the lowest of the five Survivor Series. And then the following Tuesday, they do 140,000 buys for this Tuesday in Texas, which is only a 90-minute show. And as luck would have it, the WWE Vault just uploaded this Tuesday in Texas today.
Wow.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. Obviously, we have a listener, so thank you, whoever's in charge at the WWE Vault.
Yes, they have just uploaded Survivor Series 91 and this Tuesday in Texas over the last week or so. So you have both that are very accessible on YouTube. And while this Tuesday in Texas is looked at as like this disaster, like 140,000 buys, yes, it's at the time when WWF is doing four shows a year, that's a very low number. But as things would progress, like this was also, they put a lot less cost into this pay-per-view. Like it's a really stripped down pay-per-view. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. It's like, I don't look at it as this like bomb of an idea, but I don't think running Tuesday night helped. And I also feel that, well, ultimately they didn't try this again. So they clearly viewed it as not a success. But that is what you got. And you basically set up the rematch between Hogan and Undertaker and the big angle going on at the time between Jake the Snake Roberts and Randy Savage.
The holiday season is fast approaching, but if you still have a few people left on your shopping list, don't worry. Uncommon Goods takes the hassle out of holiday gifting with thousands of unique, one-of-a-kind presents you won't find anywhere else. Many of these gifts are high-quality, handmade, or crafted by independent artists and small makers. One standout gift this season is the personalized Pet Family Blanket, an exclusive item created by artist Shelley Klein and available only at Uncommon Goods. Shelley creates custom portraits in her sweetly simple illustration style, where you can customize skin tones, hair, clothing colors, and pet details to make it truly personal. Measuring 50 by 60 inches, made from soft cotton and polyester, it's perfect for snuggling with your furry family. Plus, each purchase supports small makers and donates $1 to a nonprofit of your choice, including the International Rescue Committee and American Forests. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/postwrestling. That's uncommongoods.com/postwrestling for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bitsenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com. In some of Jake's best work of his career, when they turned him heel in 1991, first you get the close of SummerSlam 1991, where he storms the wedding of Randy Savage and Elizabeth, flanked by The Undertaker, and the snake is inside one of the gifts. And then, remember, at this time, Randy Savage has lost his career to the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania, so he is a broadcaster. He goes through with the wedding at SummerSlam, and then he starts what is pretty much a political campaign to Jack Tunney to get reinstated. And way in 1991, they hold a telephone poll among the audience to vote if we should violate our retirement stipulation from WrestleMania, and 97% of the audience, no documentation of this, they all vote to reinstate Randy Savage. And it was supposed to be at the Survivor Series, but then tragedy struck as on the television the weekend before Survivor Series, Randy Savage is tied up in the ropes as Jake Roberts, with his sleeve is put on, this big glove, and he takes out the King Cobra. And thus we get this memorable angle at the time.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Look at that! Look at that!
Roberts with the King Cobra.
Muscle! Deep!
That's the creepiest looking snake I've ever seen in my life.
Wait a minute, the snake is running.
Oh, the snake is biting him. The snake is biting him.
I'm out of here!
Roddy Piper on his way to get some help. The snake is gnawing on the arm of Randy Savage, who's helpless, tied in the ropes. Can say is that snake better be devenomized. It better be. Jake with a snake, moving everybody back. That snake almost bit Elizabeth and Piper. And I don't think that snake has been devenomized.
Randy Savage would have gotten up a lot earlier. Something's gone wrong here. Everyone out at ringside doesn't know what to do. Get him out of there. For God's sake, get Randy Savage out of there. Savage leaping back, and Jake, he doesn't know any better. Savage must be hallucinating by now. That poison going through his veins. Please, somebody get Randy Savage. Get him out of there, for God's sake.
There is so much to this angle. Number one, Randy Savage might only be the fifth best performer in this segment. Number one, and cast aside your personal opinions, this is one of the best Vince McMahon calls ever. He is so over the top, but amazing at his horror at what he is calling here. It is amazing. Number two is this Cobra, okay? Who was, like, how many ways could this have, like, just not worked, or it's not cooperative? I mean, this this visual, and this was censored in a lot of places when it aired. But can you imagine in 1991 airing this angle? Like, this is a horrific looking angle. Like, this thing is gnawing on the bicep of Randy Savage. They draw blood.
This would be shocking in 2025.
I think so, too. Like, this was such an effective angle. You've got Elizabeth in hysterics. Like, you have Piper leaving the broadcast booth to come help Randy. Jake is amazing in this segment. I thought this angle was just the first time I saw it, and it wasn't in real time because I wasn't watching this early in 1991, was just amazing. I think this angle was so great, but also was probably traumatizing for some. And the crowd shots they found of people, I mean, was, I wonder how many people in the crowd like could fully. Like, this is made more for television than it is for the audience, because it's that close-up of the Cobra chewing on the arm that really makes it. Like, I think it's a fantastic angle.
In an era and an age where, you know, we've seen some of the most shocking imagery that I think pro wrestling has presented on a wide scale. You know, think like hypodermic needle or just like just any sort of craziness that, you know, we might see in our modern wrestling consumption these days. The shot in this scene of a Cobra biting into a man's arm on television as an entire audience is screaming is still up there as one of the most shocking things I think, at least on this scale, people might have seen in professional wrestling. I'm so curious about the genesis of this moment, the planning of this moment, what was agreed upon, what like assurances were made, and how fucking crazy the people involved must have been, Savage primarily, to allow this to happen.
Well, the story Jake has always told is that Savage was totally paranoid about this and wanted the snake to first bite Jake backstage to confirm that Jake is not plotting to murder the man in the ring. Now, that's Jake's story. I take all these wrestlers' stories with a certain trepidation. Can I buy Randy Savage being that paranoid? Yes, I can. Regardless, it's like, to me, this was just the ultimate angle to set up the return. First of all, you're getting Randy Savage back after WrestleMania. He's been out for so long, so you're getting the comeback.
Just even on that, what was the idea behind him having a retirement at all? Why did they do that?
I mean, at that point, I believe it was like the thinking of it was, well, first of all, they wanted something big for WrestleMania. And I think it was also the idea of just like giving Randy a break. Like, I don't think there was any like impetus behind taking him out. It was something big to, it's not like he had some kind of injury or anything like that. And I don't think the thought was ever he was fully going to retire. It was just he would come back when he would be ready.
So they were just thinking, let's just abuse this retirement stipulation without any sort of thought of actually sticking to it.
I think they were going to stick to it. Like, they were going to transition him to broadcasting. And I think at this point as well, like, they are somewhat shifting from like Hogan and Savage. This was more so, I think it was just a way, and it also babyfaces him, but they go through with this stipulation, but it was never the idea that like, this would be the end of his career. It was just when the time would be right, they would bring him back.
And the time was, what, like 5 months, 6 months from the retirement?
About that. Yeah, we're going from March to November. And okay. it's not quite a five-year Liger retirement, but it's suitable for 1991 months. Standards.
These days, that would be, you wouldn't even get create an interim championship for some that length of time.
No, you would not. And the funny part is that Warrior is, he's suspended by this point in 1991. So, like, there's even no sign of him by this Survivor Series. We wouldn't see him back until Mania. But that was, that was the whole setup. And that is kind of the whole backdrop of the start of the pay-per-view. So we go into Joe Louis Arena, announced attendance of 17,500 with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan on commentary. And instantly, remember, this is just days after the angle has aired.
To listen to the rest of this podcast, consider becoming a member at postwrestlingcafe.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL, and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.